worse sinners than all other Galileans. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed in the Tower of Salome fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all will perish as they did. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have been coming looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, then you can cut it down." The word of God for us, the people of God, thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for the season of Lent, we have been looking at good enough. That is our theme. Sometimes we get caught up in the pursuit of being perfect that we forget what life is all about. Maybe we try to keep up with the Joneses, constantly trying to get more things, more goals, a better house, bigger, better, newer car all the time, constant promotions in your jobs, getting your kids into the next travel sports team so they'll get that full college ride scholarship and then go pro, why not? Draining our bank accounts and taking on debt. Ordinary lives might be more what God has in store for us than that keeping up with the Joneses mentality. Embracing where we are, striving for goals, but not making people or things a means to an end. There's something sacred about finding joy where we are on the journey. Last week, we admitted so much is out of our control. If you're like me and most of the world, you struggle with that. We like to at least pretend that we are in control. The pandemic, as we approach the 3-year anniversary, made it clear we are not in control. Good enough is embracing that we are not in control, and often that is a good thing. So today we're looking at the parable of the fig tree that is not producing. So a man had planted a fig tree. He came, as you might expect, looking for figs, but found none. He was understandably frustrated. He planted the fig tree looking for fruit, and for 3 years he'd come back looking for that fruit and found none. He finds the gardener and tells him to cut it down. He's frustrated. How often are we like the man who planted the fig tree? We want life, things to go as planned. We want that control. Understandably, he planted a fig tree wanting figs, and it didn't happen. So, Cadence, if you'll show the picture of a fig tree. So, we have a fig tree in our yard. It's that tree. I love our fig tree. In the winter, fig trees are not the most beautiful trees. Let's be honest. You don't plant that tree so that it looks beautiful in the winter. I think it kind of looks like sticks coming up from the ground. And so I wanted you all to have a visual of what this fig tree might have looked like. Now, again, I assume it had some leaves on it, even though it wasn't producing the figs when spring came or later in summer. So again, wouldn't describe this as a pretty tree. You don't plant a fig tree for its beauty in the winter. Now, the leaves on the fig tree are very large, pretty much as big as my hand, and they are unique in the tree world. Again, it's not a beautiful Japanese maple or an oak tree that looks a little bit better in the winter. It looks like those sticks coming up from the ground. It's fair to assume that the man planted a fig tree wanting figs, not to have that tree just look like it did. He's frustrated that the fig tree is taking up space and not producing figs, what he wanted. Now, thankfully, the gardener is looking out for the fig tree. He pleads for one more year with this fig tree. The gardener says, "I will dig around it, I'll put manure on it, I'll give it extra care, and see if pouring extra time and effort into the fig tree will help it to produce fruit." So he makes a deal with the man who owns the vineyard. If it doesn't produce in a year after I tend to it a little more, then you can cut it down. But if it does produce, it will be spared. It will be allowed to stay. The image reminds me of the resurrection story where Mary mistakes the resurrected Jesus with the gardener. What if Jesus is the gardener in this story, asking for one more year to help us to produce fruit? One more year of extra love and grace poured into us. One more year of manure even placed around our roots. What if then that will help us to bear fruit? So my husband and I have slowly converted all of our flower beds at our house to fruit beds because we like fruit. We're like that man who wanted things to produce. So my husband's the one who watches the YouTube videos on how to prune and what you're supposed to do to care for the fruit trees and bushes and plants. So experts actually recommend that you kill the buds at the beginning part of a tree or bush's life so that it will focus on building a stronger foundation, getting taller instead of producing. Now, I will admit, I want those two blueberries. So we don't. We let it produce its fruit and then we eat. We each have one blueberry each. But it makes me wonder if maybe this fig tree was focused on growth and not on producing, like these experts on YouTube say. Maybe it was focused on growth and not yet bearing fruit. Again, it's still in its early years, in the couple first years. Maybe it's focused on digging deep roots, growing tall and strong branches, and will bear fruit and more fruit in a few years. There's something beautiful about focusing on the foundation first and then bearing good fruit. It's easy to see how the man who planted the fig tree is frustrated with a non-producing tree. Do you ever feel pushed, frustrated by the push to do more and be even more productive? How many workshops, books, or podcasts have you consumed about taking advantage of productivity? Right? I know I have. Some of the things are helpful, like focusing on when you're most productive as a person and doing the things that you need to focus on during those times, capitalizing on your productive times, when it's best to write a sermon, not answer email, not even looking at email, all of that. Some of it's helpful, and some of it leads to more frustration, feeling like we are farther behind than we were before we listened. I actually have the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I admit I've not yet gotten all the way through it. I try to capitalize on my time, sometimes listening to helpful podcasts on the car or while exercising or making phone calls while doing other things, but yet I still feel like at the end of the day, I'm not producing sometimes enough. It's easy to fall into that trap of thinking we aren't worthy if we aren't doing enough. And this can feel so disheartening when we find ourselves in this place. We feel like we don't have enough time to do everything. We need them more than 24 hours in a day or to forfeit sleep, which I know I need. I think daylight saving times teaches us we need our sleep. Abigail Coker writes in her commentary on this text, "Everybody likes a good second chance story. Such stories are easy to hear and to believe, but the second chance that Jesus offers is not simply about trying harder and working to overcome our flaws. Much like the fig tree, we cannot work our way out of barrenness. It is letting Jesus, together with the Holy Spirit, do something with our barrenness. It means allowing something new to happen and to cooperate with God's grace. The gospel of the second chance is not about what we can do to redeem ourselves or how we can put right our wrongs. It's about letting God bring forth fruit from our lives that we never could have produced on our own. God tends and cultivates us through the Holy Spirit in our midst." So let's look at what the gardener offers. The gardener does not make the fig tree read the 7 habits of highly effective fig trees, right? Does not make the fig tree listen to podcasts about maximizing production. Instead, the gardener offers to nurture it slowly, to dig around its roots, even put manure around it and let it soak it all in. Do we need to learn a lesson from the gardener today? Where might we need to lie fallow? How can you get fertilized by the laughter and tears at the manure that life sometimes throws us? Sometimes sitting and resting is what we need. Maybe even that nap that the Teeley kids apparently don't take, but what all of us need. Have you ever strained or pulled a muscle or broken a bone? Rest And then resetting, right, and maybe surgery is what the doctor orders. Our bodies must rest in order to heal. If you keep pushing your body, it will continue to break down and your original injury will just get worse and will not be able to heal. Think about grief. Sometimes we think if we only stay busy long enough, we won't have to think about our loss. For it's when we sit still that we think about those that we have lost. We miss our father, mother, grandparent, sibling, spouse, partner, child, or friend. That's when the emotions creep in and we feel the heavy stuff that life throws us. Now, I tend to think I'm good at compartmentalizing and I shove all it down. But I gotta tell you, it seeps out in unexpected times when you try to do like what I do. It doesn't work. Instead, I find myself weeping at something so small that's nothing about that, but more about the grief that I have pushed down. It's often in the middle of the night when we should be sleeping that those thoughts, that grief comes back. When our brains turn on and telling ourselves to go back to sleep doesn't work. At least for me, it doesn't. So what is it that ails you today? Is it unprocessed grief? Is it shame or guilt? Is it burnout? Have you been producing so much that you just find yourself at the end of what you can do? What maybe the Holy Spirit trying to tell you is the best medicine for your ailment? Maybe it's rest. It could be rest, lying fallow and allowing God to tend to you. It is making time to process your grief, to let those tears out, to cry out to God, and perhaps to lament? Or is it confessing to God the barrier that has gotten between you and God and then turning back to God? If you're feeling worn out or barren, God is calling you to rest. We cannot work our way out of barrenness. Instead, we should try to act like the fig tree, lie fallow, allow Christ the gardener to pour into us, to tend to our roots, to put that manure around us and strengthen our foundation. What medicine do you need today? Is it rest, allowing your body and soul to heal? What is God telling you, not the world telling you, that you need today? Will you all please pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are the holy gardener who is constantly tending to us. God, you know what we need, what every part of us needs. And God, if it's rest, help us to lean into that rest, to give ourselves permission to nap, to rest, to sit with you. God, if it's dealing with unprocessed grief, help us. Send us those people who can be those shoulders to cry on, who won't try to say those platitudes, but instead just be there with us. God, help us. We are in a world that pushes us to produce more and more and more. You tell us, God, what we need today. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.